Glory to Jesus Christ. So in the gospel today, it's a parable, the parable of the sower. That's considered kind of like the prototype of all the parables in the New Testament. And that same parable appears in Mark's gospel first. And when Jesus tells the parable in Mark's gospel, the disciples ask him, "Why are you teaching us in parables?" That's why Jesus answered the way he did. That response carried over into Luke's version, but not the original question. So Jesus tells them, you know, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, we tell it in parables so that. And then you heard what Jesus said, and I want to talk about that. Seeing, they may not see. And hearing, they may not hear. Sounds like an odd thing to say. But Jesus is only quoting the scriptures. That's been used an awful lot in the Old Testament with the prophets. And what God is telling us in that, what he was telling the people who listened to the prophets or who heard the prophets, I told you so. You have eyes to see and ears to hear. It's not the capacity of light going through your eyes or sound passing through your ears. It's what you do with it. So you have no excuse if you don't get it, or if you don't believe it, or if you don't follow it. It's really putting the burden on the hearer. And God does that in the Old Testament to justify his actions. Because he told his people through the prophets, you need to change. You know, you need to repent. If you don't, this is what's going to happen. So then when it happens, people can't say, we didn't know. So God is justifying what he's about to do. And Jesus uses the same model for the word that he's delivering. Nothing's changed, you know. We all have eyes to see and ears to hear, but do we really see and do we really understand? The burden then is on us as hearers, as it always has been. God did his part. It's kind of like, you know, when you send a package and then you track it, you want to know, you get delivery confirmation, something like that. So if something fails and it doesn't get to where it was supposed to go, or they say we never receive it, you can say, well, I have proof. I sent it and I did my part. That's exactly what God's doing here. So we have eyes to see and ears to hear. If something goes wrong, it's our fault. What could go wrong? And then we see, or we hear in the gospel today, exactly the kinds of things that can go wrong in that parable. And you know, Jesus teaches in parables because it's easier to learn with a story. You could tell someone something straight, and sometimes it doesn't get through even. But with a story, there's something that they can relate to. And oftentimes, it's agriculture, it's earning wages, something having to do with what these people knew and what they could relate to. So he's telling it to them as plain as he possibly could. The seed is the word of God. God delivers his word to us. And sometimes it falls along the path and gets trampled underfoot. That means that it doesn't reach where it was supposed to go. And Jesus even says that's when the devil comes and he takes the word and snatches it from our hearts. So we never even get to hear what God says. Don't let that happen to us. Try to apply that to your life. Don't miss out on hearing the word of God. Come to church. Read your Bible. Hear the sermon. We do this every week because this is not just good advice. It's not just a story, obviously. It's the word of God. It's a living thing. If it weren't, we'd say we read it once and we got it. But no, we have to hear it and read it and rehear it, and retell it, and explain it every single time. So it gets to our hearts. There's all kinds of temptations to keep us away from doing that. You know, the world wants to snatch it away. The evil one wants it not to take root in our hearts. So make sure you're there where the word is spoken and you hear it. Take time to read your Bibles. Come to church, hear the sermons, listen to the gospel. In the second scenario, the seeds can fall among the rocks, okay? They don't have deep roots. And so they grow for a little bit, but in times of temptation, they fall away, it says. That's what happens when we're tempted away, like St. Peter was. Remember the night of Jesus' passion when he told his disciples, "Stay here and pray." He told them, "All of you will fall away because of me this very night." Falling away means stumbling, means losing your faith, and we do it because we're tempted away. Things go wrong, we're scared. Something happens in our life. We might say, "Well, I don't get this because I go to church and I've always believed in God, and now why is this happening?" It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. God never promised you an easy life in this world. He never said we were going to have it easy and no troubles and no crosses. In fact, he told us the exact opposite. You will have crosses. You will have reason to be tempted to stumble. But you don't want that to happen to you, because then the Word of God never grows and it never matures. So we could be tempted away because of trials, because of hardships, because of persecutions, whatever. And thirdly, the example of the seeds growing up and coming up with the thorns, you know, together, they get choked by the cares and the riches and the worries of this life. That's something a little bit different. You know, we get distracted with many things. And saying distracted by many things, I'm purposefully making a reference to someone in the Bible that happened to. Remember Martha. Remember the two sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. Mary sat and she listened to Jesus' teaching at his feet. She took it in. She had good ears. Martha was distracted with many things, serving food, and she couldn't sit still. So when that happens, the word can't grow in us too. And like those thorns and the weeds, it chokes whatever's been planted. So it doesn't grow. It comes out kind of hurt and corrupt and broken. So avoid those three scenarios. We need to have, as it says, a good and honest heart to receive what God has given us. And we have to bear fruit with patience. It takes a long time. We don't get results overnight. And if we get frustrated or disappointed, we just have to bear. Because that's what it takes. That's exactly what Jesus tells us it takes. So God does his part. He gave us ears. He gave us eyes. He's given us his word. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to receive it? Be careful how you hear and what you do with that word. Let it be implanted in your heart. Let your heart be good and honest, and be patient so you can bear fruit for God. They say faith comes by hearing. It's the most important way. We hear the word, and classically, of course, that's how it's been transmitted. People hear, and then they have a response. They either believe or do one of those types of scenarios. But also, in addition to hearing, we can add, because we're Orthodox and we understand the totality of everything, we can add by seeing. You know, look at the icons on the walls. If people couldn't read at a certain point in history, if they were illiterate, or if they couldn't understand the Bible or the parables, they could see them depicted in icons. You know, and today's a special day to talk about icons. That's why I'm mentioning them. We remember the Holy Fathers of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, where they decreed, by the grace of God, that the use of icons in our worship is right. It's what God expects. It's a good way to honor God. And it's not just because people learn by icons. I'm telling you that because it's another way of believing. You know, seeing is believing. And you could even add hearing the music or smelling the incense, you know, tasting the Holy Eucharist. We involve all the senses in the church. But specifically icons. The controversy was you can't depict God, you know. That's idolatry if you paint a picture. And then we as Christians have to affirm, if we believe Jesus Christ really came in the flesh, if we believe, as St. Paul says, that he is the icon, that's the exact word used, the icon of the invisible God, that means image, then he is already the image. We have an image, we have a picture to put on God because we have seen the Word made flesh. We've handled him, we've heard him, we've touched him, we've tasted him. So if we really believe that, As we do, icons are naturally a part of how we worship. We don't believe in a God who is not revealed to us. Rather, he's shown us light. He's shown us exactly who he is. We can see his face radiating the glory of God. So that's the lesson about the propriety of icons and using them in worship. We believe that as Orthodox, we accept it, we take it for granted, but there was a period in history when that wasn't the case. And it was in 787 when the council decreed and the emperors relented and the universal church accepted that icons are proper in worship for our use in our worshiping God. So let's ask for the prayers of the Holy Fathers today and of all the saints, and may God allow his word to get to our hearts, to get through all the distractions, the chokings, the cares, the temptations, and the temptations of the devil, and may it be planted in a good and clean heart. May we bear fruit with patience and with love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.